We welcome you to His Tabernacle Family Church, where our goal is to help you become successful in your relationship with Jesus. The first step? Join us in the Connect Room directly following service. This is for anyone who does not feel like they are connected to the family of God. Step two is to help discover more about God, yourself, and the church through Discover classes and Discover Weekend. You can get more info in the Connect Room. The third step leaves all the choices up to you to develop 1. Your faith through classes, 2. Your relationships through groups, or 3. God's church through serving. Finally, we want to help you lead in life. Step 4 is a course to equip you with biblical principles for success, influence, and leadership. Come and connect after service to take your next step today.
Good morning. You guys awake? This is good. This is good. I'm excited. Anybody excited to be in the house of God? Awesome. So look, I know that was a very, very basic video, but we want to explain what's going on with Next Steps. It's words you've heard for a while, but we took everything we were doing and we mixed it back up because we want people to be connected more to Jesus. So I just really want to quickly give you an invitation. If you feel like you're not connected to the body of Christ in any way, right after service, there's a connection room. It used to be a guest room, but you know what we realized? Some people have been here for 6 years and they're not connected to anybody yet. And we want to help change that. So right after service, there's a connection room that you're more than welcome or invited to. Also, we want to help you discover what God has inside of you. So this Sunday, next Sunday, every other Sunday morning at 9:30, there's an open class that you can go to get involved, to learn what gifts God has put inside of you, where this church is going. So that's what we're doing there. And then also my last announcement before worship is simple. If you're married, February 5th and 6th, we're going to be having a Better Together Marriage Conference. And we want to make sure, look, we are really as strong as our families are in the body of Christ. And we want to make sure that our marriages are strong and they're good. And that Friday and Saturday, February 5th and 6th, is going to be a phenomenal moment for your marriage and all the other fun stuff. I ran out of words. But we're going to go into worship. Can we go ahead and stand to our feet? Come on, let's not worship like we didn't have prayer and fasting this week, right? I don't think that we should be on a down for worship. Let's go up. We're up higher than we started at the beginning of the year. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that today we're here to encounter you, that today we're here to give you ministry in our worship, that today you would be glorified above all things. So, Jesus, hear this clearly. We love you. And we're excited to come to know you even greater today. In your mighty name, can I hear a shout? Amen. 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 Let's worship.
Thank you. You know why I love praise? I feel led to say this. I love praise and worship, not because of the way it makes me feel, but it's a way that we can actually bless God. Think about how many ways the Lord can bless us. He can heal us. Can we heal God? No. Can he provide for us? Yes, he's our provider. But can we provide for him? No, he owns everything. So how can you bless somebody that is the owner of everything? That's the maker of everything. The one that heals, the one that provides, restores, sustains. How do we bless someone like that? We didn't come here to feel. We didn't come here to be moved within our emotions. Even though you might feel that way, that's great. But we came here primarily to bless God. That's why. That's why when it says, oh, mighty ones, you're the mighty one because he's made us mighty. That's my heart. I want to bless God with every single word that comes out of my mouth, with every single celebration, with every single dance movement that I give him. That's what praise is. Yes, it's a weapon. Yes, it makes you feel good in your emotions, but the main reason is to bless him. It's one of the only ways that we can do it. So can I hear a shout of praise to God like you want to bless him this morning? Hallelujah, Jesus. We're here to bless you first, God. We're not here to be tickled in our emotions. We're not here to take from you, Lord. We're here as a living sacrifice to give to you. So we shout, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name in this place with our praise. You're the only one that deserves it, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's sing the next one.
Come on. Yes, the Lord with me. Hallelujah. No matter what you're going through, you can have this confidence in God that He's got you. Can you turn to someone and say, I thank God that He's got me? Honestly, that is just so huge to recognize that you are not alone. When you know that God is for you and not against you, when you know that God is fighting for you, not just sitting back and watching, but He's fighting for you, man, there's no greater confidence that can stir in your heart and your mind. Amen. Can you just turn to someone, social distance with your voice, your droplets, and say, I thank God Jesus is for me. Now, come on, speak to them. God is for you. He's fighting for you. He loves you. God is on your side. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Isn't it true? Aren't you excited about that? I love the fact that God is fighting for us. That just makes me happy. That means that I don't have to fight all my own fights. Amen. I want to give God praise. Some of you are wondering where Pastor Rhonda is. Pastor Rhonda is on an aeroplane south. Yes, she's on her way to Florida. And we want to give you just a quick testimony. She was given an opportunity to speak. She'll be with Kelly Gillum, Carolyn Shuttlesworth, Jenny Raybert, my wife, and of course, Nicole Crank will also be there. This week, you can tune in to Faith Broadcasting Network at 1 o'clock. 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Pastor Rhonda will be on with this slew of ladies live all over the world. Literally, many of you don't know, but my son's wife, Jade. How many of you know Pastor Jade? Amen. Her family. In South Africa, her grandfather started the very first Christian television network. Amen. And so then they coupled with TBN for many years, and now they're back on their own. But right now, literally, they have been infiltrating Africa, all of England, parts of Europe, and now they're in America with Faith TV. If you'd like to get the app, it's called Faith Now. And just tremendous, always faith-filled, power-packed people of God that are doing awesome things for Jesus. Yes, I'm a little confused. We have people with masks on this morning. Is it, that's right. Okay, very good. Okay, gotcha. Whew, I was a little concerned. So we'll move on, and then I'll bring understanding to that later. So we want to keep my wife in prayer. She'll be all the way Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, 11 o'clock in the morning, on Faith Broadcasting Network, as well as if you want the app Faith Now. And what a great opportunity. Literally millions upon millions and millions and millions of people will be enjoying your pastor all over the planet. And what a great privilege that we get to share her. Amen. Yes. I love the fact that we can share what God has given her to the rest of the world. And what a great honor to be asked to speak there. Today, I'm excited because we get to talk about groups. Everybody shout, groups. Shout, I love groups. Some of you don't. You're not involved. So we want to talk about that today. We want to talk about groups because groups are so important. You know, groups are God's plan. Turn to someone and say, God's plan never fails. So when you don't do God's plan, you line yourself up for not as a higher level of success. I want to be as successful as I can be for Jesus. I want to accomplish all that God has for me. Can I hear an amen or oh my? What happens in Christianity of today is we kind of get in that mode where we just kind of go to church. This is not about going to church. Church is a big part and the factor of growing, being equipped for the work of the ministry, being brought to unity, being brought to maturity. But church, the very portion of it, is us moving as one voice, us moving as one people. Pastor Andrea, we were talking yesterday, and literally, as the church goes, the nation goes. Let me say it again. As the church goes, the nation goes. So when the church veers off from who God has called us to be, the nation doesn't have the choice. Well, why is that, Pastor? We're just a church. No, 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 no. We are the body of Christ. We are the salt or the preservers of the planet. See, salt was such a powerful tool back in those days. Many people don't realize it, but salt was like money. And what they would do is they would buy and sell salt because they didn't have refrigeration. What they would do was salt carried a large value because it allowed them to preserve their food. Without salt, there was no preservation. And so as believers today, God has called us, as we are very valuable, say amen, that we are the preservers of the planet. I believe it was Tiff Shuttlesworth quoted it this morning. He said, the church can survive without the world, but the world cannot survive without the church. When we get that, then we're more than just nice little Christianettes who go to church on a Sunday morning. We are truly who God has called us to be. But to do that, we've got to be empowered properly, which means we've got to be an Acts 2 church. Turn to someone and say, I'm an Acts 2. Son and daughter of God. Amen. That means if you believe you're an Acts 2 person, then we're going to do it God's way. The Bible says that God, the architect, created the heavens and the earth, and he created his church in a specific way because it would produce the highest fruit level. You see, I don't know about you, but this last year, I'll just talk a little bit about my apple orchard. My apple orchard out back of my house, I only have it for one reason. It is a draw to the deer so that I can harvest them and manage them so they don't starve to death, manage them and take care of them. And when there's a bumper crop, last year, there were so many apples that literally, not figuratively, but literally I had limbs breaking because they were so heavy with apples. The deer were saturating my apple orchard. I had pictures on my trail cams of these monster beasts. I'm talking huge animals. And I'm sitting there salivating, waiting for deer season to open. And I'm sitting back and I'm saying, wow, what a great season this is going to be. And then this year was different. This year, that literally I only had one tree and it had very little fruit on it. And when you start looking at the trail cams, there were three deer in my apple orchard the whole season. One, two, three. That's not good. And the reason is because one, they respond to fruit. The church is called to be fruit producers. The world does not respond to us because we're a church in the middle of a cornfield. The world responds to the church because we have something they need. Something that tastes and see that the Lord is good. Amen. So when the world tastes the church, it should be a drawing factor for them. When the church is doing their job, then we are preservers on the planet. But the only way to truly do this is to do it God's way. Turn to someone and say, God's way is the only way. That's a fact. God's way is the only way. And see, as believers, we've gotten out of doing it God's way. We've done church. But just because you do church don't mean you do it God's way. Amen. Just because there's a tag on the outside of the door don't actually mean it's a church. You got to do it God's way. Turn to someone and say, God's way is the only way. That's right. Because now my uncle was a missionary in northern Quebec. Now, Uncle Gary was 6'4". He was an ex-Hells Angels. And he went to Bible college in 1978, my alma mater as well. And from there, he went to become a missionary in northern Quebec. It's called Sanitaire, Quebec. It's just before, it's the one of the last towns before James Bay. And it was with the Native Americans, the First Nation. That's what his ministry was towards. And you know what? He would sit down on their radio and he'd say, God's way is above Indian way. And he was shot at twice. Because not everybody believes that. And not everybody believes that in the church. Because if we believe it in the church, then we'll do God's way. Come on now, am I preaching to myself this morning? I thought we were Pentecostals. Is the Baptist open the door? Come on now, close the door. So I felt a little bit of Brother Ted Shuttlesworth come on me right about there. Now I'll do TIFF. Forgive me, Lord, forgive me, God. A big part of doing church properly, doing it God's way, is that we obey what the word of the Lord says. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourself as a matter of some, especially in the last days. And we watched a demonic, diabolical, remember we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness, is that all of this pandemic thing really was motivating to take the church down. Well, you know, that's kind of, you know, that's kind of conspiracy theory, isn't it? Well, no, demonically, that is the plan. Because the less powerful the church is, the less salty the church is, the less souls will be saved. You see, you've got to get your mindset. Don't look at the things which you can see, for they are temporary. But look at the things which you cannot see, for they are eternal. The eternal principles are greater than the natural principles. But we become so used to being here on this planet that we literally become so earthly minded, we're no heavenly good. It's time to get back to heaven's mindset. This mind, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. The mind of God is that God set forth his church to work a distinct way that produced the greatest amount of fruit. And that's what we're after. The reason that Christ has not come yet is not that Jesus isn't ready to crack the eastern sky with the trumpet of God. But the reason that Christ hasn't come yet is that God wills that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Can you imagine some of you would be going to hell in a handbasket if Jesus came 5 years ago because you got saved less than 5 years ago? How many have been saved less than 5 years? Look at all the hands. You wouldn't be going to heaven. Aren't you glad God is merciful? How many of you got saved within the last 10 years? Look at all those hands. Can you imagine how many people would not go to heaven if God was not filled with grace and mercy? Can you imagine if God just got impatient and said, let's get this thing done. Let's move on with history. But no, God says, I will that none should perish. He's after you. He longs for you. He loves you. He's drawing you. He's ministering to you. If you're watching online, God is after you this morning. He desires you this morning. Jesus is literally chasing you down. But in this, the church, especially right now, as churches have closed all over the nation, as churches are stumbling and fumbling and wondering whether they're even going to open their doors again. Listen, there are churches that still have made the statement they are not opening until Easter. Dear Lord, shut your door. You're not a church. I heard just recently in the paper, some local churches say, well, they're going to start opening. That means you've been shut for 8 to 10 months. What's wrong with you? God's kingdom don't shut down.
Well, we're doing it the social distancing way online.
You can only do it online so long, and I'm going to prove it to you. See, and this is where the quandary comes. As the body of Christ, we either literally will obey the world or we'll obey God. There's nothing in between. We've got to make decisions in life. God isn't doing the half-baked Christianity stuff. He said, if you put your hand to the plow and look back, you're not even worth my kingdom. Ooh. See, we like the Jesus stuff as long as we read the Kumbaya stuff. But Jesus was in the face. Jesus told it the way it was. Jesus was quite abrupt. Say amen. Amen. Jesus told it the way it was. He didn't play and pander. And as he is the head of the church, he created it for a reason. And in this, I want to talk about it. I'm going to break this down as quickly as I can. It will take maybe 2-3 hours and we're done. When God created man, he created man without problems. How many of you are married? You know your spouse has issues. Amen. They are so easy to say amen, aren't they? You know your spouse has issues because you're married to them. You know they got issues because you see them day in and day out. God knows we've got issues. But you realize that Adam and Eve, when they were born, when God created them, there was no issues. They had no problems. It wasn't until man made a decision to create treason before God that literally man literally started having problems. They started having sin problems. They started having sickness problems. They started having rebellion problems. They started having literally distance problems from God. Many people don't realize the very plan of God when he said, let there be, and there was, when he was talking about mankind, was because God didn't want to be alone. Many people think, well, he just wanted to start something new. Listen, he didn't need to start. He didn't need to start an earth to say, wow, look at that. He created an earth so that he could create man who was made in his image. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. He made us in his image so that we could walk with him and talk with him, that we could have a relationship with him, because God had angels, but what God wanted more than just people that were created beings that were created to respond to him because they had to, he was looking for mankind created in his image that would respond to him because they wanted him. Not everybody wants God. How many of you met somebody that didn't want God? How many of you did not used to want God? Amen. But this is what I love about our God, is that God, and any other religion is not that way. Any other religion, you got to seek after God. But in this, God is seeking after you. God is desiring you. And when Adam and Eve sinned, what they did is they breached God's greatest heart. God's greatest heart was so that you and I could have a relationship and that God wouldn't be alone. God created a family. God created a family. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 19, that because he had that mentality, he placed it within mankind. He said, it is not good for man to be alone. God did not create you to be alone. This is why this demonic pandemic had such a horrific result, because of isolation. My ma right now is going to get a procedure done at the end of the month. Her doctors have quarantined her for over 3 weeks. Let me tell you something. Nobody has been created to be alone for 3 weeks. The only people that, well, Pastor, I really don't like people. Then you've been wounded. It's not that you don't like people. You have a wound in your heart that you've not allowed God to heal, because God created you to love other people. Say amen. And so as believers, we're watching as this pandemic has saturated the body of Christ. And now we're not seeing churches unified. I'm talking within themselves. Never mind perpetuating beyond that. But even within themselves, everybody stays away from everybody. Staying away. Got to stay safe. Is this real? Absolutely. Does the virus kill people? It does. But I believe the latest statistics are 99.9% of people survive. Is it real? Absolutely. Do we've got to be wise? Absolutely. But at the same time, we've got to recognize that this isolation process is literally destroying or trying to disfigure the body of Christ. And we've got to make a decision that it's not about just going to heaven, but taking people with us. I said, it's not about going to heaven. It's about taking people with us. Because if it's just going to heaven, you die when you got saved. How many of you are still alive? Some of you aren't. I said, how many of you are still alive? That means you've got people to take to heaven with you. So when you're isolated, how can you help anyone? The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. I want you to see the mind of God. The mind of God has always been community. With Adam and Eve, what did he tell them? He didn't create Adam and Eve and say, hey, good job. He said he created them and said, now go, be fruitful, and replenish the earth. God was telling them, I want you to create community. I want you to create family. Now, listen, now we can go beyond that. This is all the way through the scripture. It is literally threaded through the entire word of God. We can get into the next portion with the children of Israel. How many tribes were there? 12 tribes, but yet they were called Israel. Yet they were called the children of God. Yes, they were one in corporate, but what God did was, because of the massiveness of the body of Christ, over 2.5 million people, they didn't just seclude to themselves. He then took them and put them in tribes, and he put them together so that there could be a closer unit to where they could encourage, strengthen, and do a job together, but yet they were still considered the whole. Jesus did the exact same thing. We know that Jesus in the book of Matthew chapter 10 had 70 people. We know 70, it was far more than that, but 70 people follow Jesus all the time. But within that massiveness, even of all the people that he fed, the 5,000 people that he fed, and then so on and so forth, all these people that follow Jesus, he not only had the 70 that were close to him, but then he had 12 that were closer to him, and then he had 3 that were the closest to him. Jesus literally lived this community. I love my Jesus because Jesus doesn't just tell us to do something. He shows us how to do it first. And then we get into the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2, verse 46, it says this. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. They were the entirety as the body of Christ. But then they met in groups. They went from home to home. Not isolated. They went from home to home and literally shared their life with somebody. We've come to a scenario, and if you have not yet read my wife's book, you need to, called No More Hurt. I'm sure you can get it out in the foyer. No more hurt. There are so many believers. Listen, when we come here, we come broken. And Jesus starts fixing us. But many people that are broken, whether it be broken because of relationships with your parents, or broken because of a marital relationship, or broken because you were abused in some capacity, you're broken so you stay isolated emotionally so that you do not get hurt again. But I'm telling you, that is not the mind of God. That is not the plan of God. The mind of God and plan of God is to get healed up inside so that you can be an individual that will share even the wounds that you've had. Just recently, and we had a situation many, many years ago in my last church where a woman in our body, her child committed suicide. And it was a horrible, horrible moment. The boy actually grew up with us in Newfield, and what a great young man he was, and committed suicide. It was horrible. As I'm watching this woman, her name is Mary. She was so broken inside and wounded inside. And we had another lady in the church who had lost a child, and they started communicating and helping each other. And then I watched Mary as Mary became healthier and healthier and healthier, that somebody else got wounded and somebody else had the same scenario, and Mary was able to come in and be able to share out of her own wound and healing how to bring health to another family. I want you to realize that the wounds that you have are not there to separate you. The wounds that you have are there for you and I to help somebody else build and strengthen and know that God is able to heal and set free so that you don't have to remain in that wound your entire life. Community is the mind of God. I know you've heard me say this before, but it's true. Not even 50 years ago, everybody knew their neighbor, whether you liked them or not. Now, most people don't know their neighbors. They don't want to know their neighbors. They stay to themselves. If you need sugar, you're going to go buy sugar. In the old days, you needed sugar. You called up Aunt Lucy, who's never been your aunt, called up Aunt Lucy two doors down and said, I need some sugar. Oh, honey, we got all the sugar you need. You come on down here and I'll take good care of you. You go down there and she loads you up with a pound of sugar. Hallelujah. You know, the neighbors took care of each other. They ministered to each other. They were there for each other. It was community. In the churches, it was very well known that the church was the epicenter of the community. That if you needed something, you could go to the church. You could go get help at the church, whether it be emotional help, spiritual help, or even financial help. My wife, who went, I guess we were talking about yesterday. Time goes by quickly. 30 years ago, she was at college taking social services. And in their own textbook, which was a secular college, it literally said the reason that we have social services is because the church stopped doing their job. Isn't that interesting? Everything used to be around the epicenter of the church. But what's happened is, because of isolation, not just this, not just the pandemic we're dealing with, but because of the process of isolation, we've started to eliminate spiritually community. We come to church, some of you have been here 5, 6, 7 years, and you have never, ever met anybody. No, I'm talking, you shook somebody's hand, you smiled at them, but you know nobody. You have no relationships in the house so that if you needed something, there's somebody that could show up and help you. And whether you realize it or not, that's the play of the enemy to make sure that the church no longer is a community, but we are separate entities that literally are not coagulated, so that when it is time for God to move forward, all he has is fragmentation, not oneness. Oh, come on now. It's good whether you like it or not. God's plan is to create community. We need it. We all need community. I love my wife. I won't talk bad about my wife, but I love my wife. But we've been together a lot lately. Like a lot. She's getting on the airplane and she's saying, you know, this is the first time in like 8 or 9 months that we haven't seen each other every single day. I'll see you Wednesday. I love my wife. But husbands and wives have not been called to live together 24 hours a day, 7 days a week without knives and guns. We need other people. I said we need each other. There's nothing wrong with a man loving a man. No. Listen now, this is important. Because this is where the twist comes in homosexuality. There's nothing wrong with a man loving another man and a woman loving another woman. It doesn't mean it has to be twisted. Men need to love men. Women need to love women, because women don't think anything like a man. Jesus, help us all. In premarital counseling, when you start asking the woman what they're looking for in their man, they start describing this entity. And then when you break it all down, they've described another woman. I want them to be sensitive and caring and huggy. You know, we want to go do tea together. You all right? I love Ron. I love hanging out with Ron Lerner. I love going to his house and going to his basement. Not that I know, I can't, the dude is brilliant. Like he makes things. And he makes them to the 100,000th And he starts explaining it to me, and I look at him, and I go, can I see what you made? But I love, we went up shooting. He made a gun, and we went up shooting, and I had so much fun. I love hanging around with Ron Lerner. He's a great guy. I love Ron, but I don't want to sleep with Ron. Amen. I love getting on the Harley and riding with the guys. Chris Van Zyl and I, we went up to Newfield one morning, and we had breakfast up in Newfield, riding on the Harleys. I love you, Chris, but I won't sleep with you. God created us to live in community and to love one another, sincerely love one another, untwisted. Can I hear an amen? Amen. God wants us to be whole people. And in this wholeness, we've created, or God has created, this family that has such amazing diversity. Listen, our diversity is our strength. Our diversity is not our weakness. When we opened this church back in 1998, I saw in my spirit that this was going to be a multicultural church. We live in a white area. And really, strangely enough, in our area, the churches are still very, very segregated. You got your African-American church. You got your Latino church. You've got your Asian church. You've got your white church. And I want you to realize that's not the way heaven's going to be. I said, amen. And what the enemy is striving to do is to keep community out of diversity. And it can never be, because the diversity is what makes us strong, because we're able to see through different sets of glasses, to be able to love people better, to be able to bring the gospel to them and produce more fruit as the body of Christ. Can I hear an amen? Amen. That's what I love about church. God created this. He created us to live together in groups. No, I didn't say communes. He called us to live together in groups. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we know the verse. It teaches us that the plan of God was to build a family. All believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and to sharing in meals and to pray together. Yesterday, I was hanging out with R.C. Ike. Everybody know R.C.? R.C. Ike. So we're talking and laughing, and I had to go pick up my wife. She had her hands done, fingernails, things. And so I had to haul over. We're walking out into the parking lot, and he says, grabs my arm, and he goes, hey, dude, I just want to pray with you real quick. Right on the parking lot. He grabs the pastor, and he starts praying over his pastor. That's community. That's family. God is not calling you to be isolated to yourself. He's calling you to join a group. He's calling you to be part of a group of people that you are going to be able to love and be hate. Listen, love and hate. Well, I'm not going to that church. You know who's there? I don't even like them. Well, what are you going to do when you get to heaven? Go to the other side? No, the fact is you're probably not going, because if you can't forgive, you can't be forgiven. Let's move on now. Let's move on. Well, Pastor, I'm just not interested in groups. I don't have time, and I don't really want to be around people like that. No, really, I hear that all the time. Yeah, like that. My favorite one was, well, listen, I don't even like Christians. What are you? Listen now, bad company corrupts good morals. Some of you need to change your groups. Boy, that got really quiet, didn't it? I just got that under rumble. I said, some of you need to change your groups. Some of you had friends from when you were young, man, and you partied together, you smoked and toked together, you did wild stuff together, and man, now you're born again, now you love Jesus, and every time you get around them, you start to get drawn back into their lifestyle. I want you to know, those are the friends you need to cut off from your life, because if you're not influencing them, they're influencing you. If they're not receiving from you, you're receiving from them. And those are the people you need to create new groups from. Say amen or oh my. Amen. We need groups in our life. We need people in our life. We need to encourage. You got to be part of a group so you can get encouraged. You know, somebody said to me, well, you know, I just don't feel like I belong in church. You know, nobody likes me. No, I looked at that person. I said, nobody knows you. There's somebody here that will like you. I don't know who they are, but somebody will like you. Well, I just don't feel like I fit. How can you not feel like you fit in a congregation over 1,000 people? The only way you can't feel like you fit within a congregation of 1,000 is if you're not the right piece. That was tweetable. Twittable. It's time to recognize that your life is not just for you. Your life is to be given away. But you can't give it away if you always isolate yourself and then only hang around people that are filled with hell. Amen. Man, when you're part of a group, you get to encourage and walk with Christ. You know what? You get to walk your walk with God with other people. Because sometimes, has anybody ever here, man, you put the smile on when you came to church, but your tongue, your head, your nose was dragging on the ground inside. You can get away with that when you're in a group like this, when you're in a mass community. But when you're in a smaller group, somebody in that group's going to look at you and go, what's up? You okay? And they can reach you and love on you and encourage you, sometimes kick you. Do whatever they got to do to get you to the next level. But when you're all by yourself, come on now. The Bible says that two back to back can't be defeated, and three are even better, because that strength within that cord, I want you to recognize God has called you to be part of the cord. Say amen. You have somebody to call. Listen, I at times look at the bars and I'm a little jealous. And the reason is they're filled with spirits, just the wrong kind. But many times in the bar, they're more committed to each other than the church is. That is the truth. I'm not talking out of school. And as the body of Christ, we've got to be knit together. When somebody calls and needs help, you've got to be willing to help. Can I hear an amen or oh my? I'll see you at church. It's important to recognize that when you start to slide away from Jesus, and there are times that you struggle with your walk with the Lord. That's everybody. I don't think anybody here, even the pastor, I don't think anybody here is too far and too good to not slowly slip away. And you're there in their life to say, listen, get up. Come on now. Stop it. I'll sit with you. I called somebody the other day and said, listen, if I got to, I will come to your house and apply the boot. And they said, no boot needed. I had this grown man, he was 40 years old. He skipped like 6-8 weeks of church. And I know this is bad, but one time I looked at him and I said, dude, you're messing up, man. You're going to walk away from God. You keep this up. I said, I'm going to whoop on you. He goes, yeah, right. I said, come on, drop. I said, get over here, bend over my knee. And I took my belt off. I whooped him. It was fun. I know it's twisted, but it was. But we need each other. And your spouse can't always do it. Because when you look at your wife and say, you're not reading the Bible enough, you're a dead man. When you look at your husband and say, well, you know what? I think you're slipping spiritually. Do you think they're going to go, thank you, honey. Thank you so much for encouraging me in the Lord. No, I'm talking like swords are drawn. We need each other. We need family. We need community. And not just the vast community that moves together as one, but we need the community that moves individually. We need the community that moves in groups so that we move as one and can encourage, build, strengthen. Listen, you want to know what you also learn in groups? You learn how to forgive. You know, some of you are so afraid of getting hurt again that you've stopped loving. Hear me. If you're always afraid that you're going to get your feelings hurt, you've stopped loving. Because it is impossible to be part of any community and any group and not get your feelings hurt. I had a neighbor once that I really didn't appreciate. She called the SPCA on me at least 3 or 4 times. One day they showed up in my house. They called her a humaniac. Showed up at my house, and they said, well, we have to investigate it when you're reported. I said, okay, we need to see your 2 dogs. So I had my dog, who weighed at that point, it was, I believe it was Bruiser Brown. No, it was Gunner. Was it Gunner? I think it was Tank. Tank, he weighed like 90 pounds, Labrador, his head's this big, chest this big, and mean as a bulldog. Huh? He was mean. And then I had another dog. Her name was Brooke. She was a German shorthair pointer that was this big around and literally just hopped like a bunny at all times. And she said, the neighbor says that you're starving them to death. So I brought the Labrador and I says, does he look starved to death? Well, no. I brought the other dog out. I says, that one sleeps with my children and never stops eating. She goes, yeah, that's that breed. Now listen, I didn't really appreciate that neighbor when she would post things on my door saying, I'm going to report you to the police because my motorcycle was too loud. But I realized something, and that is, that even though we didn't always get along, that I let her know that if she needed anything, we would be there for her. She loved cats. So my wife would go buy her cat stuff. So letting her know, I think she bought her a cat. What's that? Picture frame. I'm not using any of you when I do. But my neighbor taught me, as many times as she offended me, that I was the only salt that was probably near her life. And that if I responded the same way, that there was no way she would ever, ever even hear the gospel. You know, when people get in groups, they realize, I really don't appreciate this person. You know what? I would hang out with this person, but this person, we're just like oil and water. Thank you. Oil and water. Oil and vinegar. I was going to say vinegar. And you just don't kind of get along, but you're still in the same bottle. Sometimes you got to get mixed up to realize that this is the greatest place for you to be offended and the greatest place for you to learn forgiveness. You need to get offended at church. It's my job to offend you. And I've done it so well for so many years. But it's my job to offend you because I'm using the gospel. If you're offended, then I usually have offended you with the gospel. But I've been offended by so many people in church. I've been lied to. I've been stolen from, accused of, cussed out.
lied about, a lot of lying about, prophesied about. I am still claiming the two helicopters and jet, glory to God, that they've told me that I have, and the possible Lamborghini, they told me I had that too. We'll take it all, glory to God. My daughter-in-law wants to borrow that, hallelujah. Out of 84 that were in my Bible college class, 42 graduated, only six of us are left in the ministry. And the reason is that, because whenever you get into a community, it's impossible not to get hurt. It's impossible not to have conflict. It's impossible that you are not going to have your feelings wounded. How about Jesus? Peter looks at Jesus and says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus looked and said, "Man has not revealed this to you, Peter, but God has. Glory to the Lord." The next chapter, Jesus is talking about that he's going to get crucified. And Peter says, "You'll not get crucified. I'll fight to the death if I got to." And Jesus looked at him and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Praise whooping. You're going to get offended in church. Do you know what groups are so important for you? Some of you have stayed away from them because you don't always like everybody. And if you like everybody, then you better give somebody the right kind of drugs because you got them. Because we don't always like everybody. We do have to love everybody, but we don't always like everybody. And when you're in the group, you learn how to grow in love with people that aren't always your flavor. Can I hear an amen? I grew up in a Bible college. My Bible college, back in those days, the rooms were tiny. I'm talking all you could fit in the room and have a small aisle down the middle was two bunk beds. And there were four men in this small room. I won't say I was a man. I was a man age-wise, but a boy and everything else. And one of these roommates, who's now a pastor, actually he was on this morning on our live, Pastor David had just had gastro surgery back in the 1980s. So you know that was way before they got things really worked out. But it allowed him to work things out, if you know what I mean. My other roommate, he was 18 years old, but had his first child at 14 years old when he lived in Detroit. Had a lifestyle that was kind of wild. And my other roommate was Danny, who was 23 years old and never kissed a girl before. We had somewhat of a mixture. And David loved to torture Kevin. And he would grab Kevin, wrap him up, and release hell from the lower quadrants of his body. So much so that there was no way to stay in the room, and Kevin would start to dry heave. And as we're leaving, shutting the door behind us, we're like, "Thank God we're not Kevin, and I'm not going to help him." We learned how to have a relationship. I love David. He's a great pastor now in Rhode Island. I don't know anything else about him. Kevin, he's a police officer in Detroit. And Danny is an insurance guy and a minister. He sings all over Maine. And we are still close, even though we always made really a lot of fun at Danny. A lot. Tortured him. Threw water in his bed. Pulled him off his bed. Tortured him. It was so much fun. Unless you were him. But we learned how to have a relationship. We learned how to forgive. Some of you will never learn because you're going to stay isolated. You've got to join a group. Right now, this house here, we're so blessed. We have over 50% of the people of this house go to a group every single month. That's huge. You need to know the national statistics are 30%. So 30% of a normal church goes to groups. This house has 50%. And I'm excited about that. And most pastors would say, "What do you mean? Why are you still pushing groups?" I said, because it's the book of Acts.
They met together daily in the house of the Lord. That's why you can't keep skipping church. That's why it's not like once a month of an environment for you. The Bible says in the old days, they went to church every single day. They went to church every single day. They went to the temple every single day. And then they hung out together. Church once a week is not the book of Acts. That's why we have classes all week long. And segregating yourself to protect yourself because you don't like people means you're never going to get healed up enough to love somebody from death to life. God's called you to join a group. And I don't know what group that is. There's so many groups in this church. Really, literally, there are so many groups. We have groups that that deal with what you like. Do you know that most of the time you go do what you like? You'll go have fun with somebody that likes what you like to do and enjoy yourselves. I personally don't like knitting. Never have. My grandmother made me learn it in the blizzard of 1978. As we were stuck in the house with my grandmother, whose nickname was Sergeant, for 1 week. And she hated men. I was the only boy in the house. Yes, she tortured me. That's why I tortured Danny. So, I'm letting you catch up. I'm not a knitter, but you might be a knitter. How many here knit? Crochet. Good, crochet, knit. Wouldn't it be great to sit around and encourage one another while you knit together? I wouldn't enjoy that. Man threw the wrong hoop. But get me on a motorcycle. Let's go find me an ice cream stand, and I'll ride with any of yous. You learn how to build relationships. You know, today I know I've got a little bit long, but I want you to learn relationships. This is God's plan. It's the book of Acts. Shout, I'm a book of Acts believer. Come on, shout, I'm a book of Acts believer. Come on, one more time. I'm a book of Acts believer. I go to the temple and I'm part of a group. That's the plan of God right there. Every time you join a group, you're going to find that you're going to become stronger. The guys in my group, I nag every day almost. I text them. I encourage them. Some of them I yell at, enjoy the boot with. But every time I reach out, it's only because I love. And I've chosen to take my time. Somebody said to me, do you do like one of those group text messages things where you send it out to a bunch of people? Every single person that I send a text to, I look at your name and I pray for you, every single individual, because you're my family, you're my group. I'm here for you, you're here for me. We need each other. Stop secluding yourself. You're not helping yourself. The only way to be spurred on is to get around somebody who's on. You can enjoy somebody watching riding horses, but until you get on the horse, you're still watching. You need to get on the pony. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Today, I'm not going to have like deep conviction services where you leave. Oh, God. But this is what I want to do at the end of this message. I want you to ask yourself this. Why have I not joined a group? Now, the problem is not just asking the question. The problem is being honest with the answer. Because every one of us who've joined a group and or not joined a group, you have a reason you've done it. Some of you need healing in your heart. Some of you need to be restored. Some of you have literally lost hope in mankind, and your only hope is in God. Listen, you're going to get hurt the rest of your breath. It's never going to stop. Every time you love, you become vulnerable. Every time you become vulnerable, it's inevitable. You will be hurt. And every time you do get hurt, you've got to forgive or you can't love again. I challenge you to join a group. There are so many groups. How many groups are in this church, Jen? Jen, can you come up here, please? What a unique outfit you have on. Can you grab her microphone up there, please? If you're watching online, I'm talking to you. Some of you just need to get to church. Listen, I know that some of you can't, but if you can, you need to. This is Jen Lerner.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. Hi.
Jen is in charge of the groups of the church. How many groups are there?
So in Horseheads, we have over 37 groups, which is a combination of small groups and homes and activity groups. So there's like a variety of groups. And in all of HT, we have over 49. Isn't that cool?
That's
over
a
49.
Lot.
49.
That's 49. Listen, 30 right here in this house, 37 groups of people that you can hang out with. You've got to be able to find somebody you like.
I mean, we really do have fun. Seriously, we may eat a little bit too much food. I'm just being honest. I mean, we eat food, but we have fun, and we are in the Word. We are feeding our spirit man, and it's our spirit man that needs to grow, because this is about relationships, not only with each other, but with God.
Amen.
Right? So good.
And every week, right here in the house, we have a women's group every single Thursday night at 7 o'clock.
Yes.
All the ladies get together. They encourage one another. They get the Word together.
Woo!
How many of you in the ladies' group? Shout amen. Oh, look at them all.
I see you guys.
Tony.
We have men's group.
Then we have a men's group Wednesdays? On Wednesday. Brother Bruce is one of the leaders of that. Brother Bruce, stand up and wave at everybody.
Bruce.
6:30 every Wednesday night right here. The men get together. And then we have Rock Solid Faith. That's a whole nother group that get together and just learn together. That's on Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, Thursday night. And then what other groups do we have right here? We have the one I love, I'm involved with, is His Line Crossers Motorcycle Ministry. I love riding the bikes with the guys and the ladies. We have a good time.
And don't forget, too, we have His Kids Program, which is our own unique group. And we have Uproar. That's a unique group.
Yep.
You have the whole Waken Ministry.
Awaken, that's young college group. If you're a college between 18, 19, and 30, they have a group tonight just for you.
Party! And there is food. There is food.
There is food.
And fun.
And fun.
And the Word.
And the Word. So we want to encourage you. There's so many groups. How can they find out where these groups are?
You can come to the back. Actually, the foyer, but the back. Come visit at the desk. Or go online. HisTabernacle.com. Groups. And you can find any group. You can search and see which one is the best fit for you. Or just come talk to me. I'm right here.
Boy, a fun group to hang out with if you're down in the Watkins Glen area is the Pruitts group. They have a lot of fun. Pastor Dan used to have a group. He doesn't anymore because he's down in Mansfield. But he had like 45 people every single Friday night. They'd had a blast all the time.
Yeah.
So if you, my ma has a group. Amen. My ma has a group of mature people.
It's a diversified group with a lot of experience. Learners have a group. We have a group.
This is for you. Okay. The reason we're doing this message is not because I don't have anything to preach, but this message is so important because they met daily and they met in groups. That's the Bible. And you know what the verse says after that? The church grew daily. That means this. It's not about this growing. Oh my goodness, we have 3,000 people that come to His Tabernacle Family Church. Listen, I know that's going to happen, but that's not the point. The point is we have 3,000 people going to heaven that are coming to His Tabernacle.
Amen.
That's the point.
Amen.
It's about getting people from hell to heaven. It's about getting people from darkness to light. That's what this whole thing is about. That's why we're pushing you to groups. We need you to join a group because we need you to grow more. You guys have a group, right?
Oh, we do. Oh, our group's spicy. We get in the Word. I won't make you guys stand up. We are. We're a spicy group.
So there's so much. Can I encourage you? Get online, histabernacle.com.
Join a group.
Go to the back. Join a group. do something. You're going to find that you're going to build a family and relationships that I promise you to be offended in, but to grow in, mature in, be encouraged in, be pushed in, and laugh in. Man, there's nothing better than laughing with other believers. And at times, crying with, because something's happened in one of the group leaders, in one of the group people, that when one cry, we all cry. And we grab each other, love each other, and work them through. So today, please, from your pastor's voice, join a group. Amen? We have a group for ladies,
yes,
whose husbands are not saved.
Saturday.
And that's quiet. That's a quiet group. That's on Saturdays.
So if you're interested in that group, come see me personally. Let's talk one-on-one about that one.
Yes. There's groups. There's every kind. I just don't have time. But I love you. And as your pastor, you got to know my heart. My heart is simple. The only thing I want from you is I want you to grow. Do you want to know what? Somebody said, you know what makes you happy, Pastor? When people grow. What makes me sad is watching somebody who has phenomenal potential, phenomenal giftings, and they go hide in a corner. That makes me sad because they can help so many people. Lori had a group. She's going to be starting it back up soon. Correct, Lori? Less than 1% of all people that are in wheelchairs get any type of ministry in the United States of America. Less than 1%. And Lori led for a while a group, and then she had to shift because she was shifting from one place to the other, and she'll be starting that back up. That was a good push, wasn't it, Lori? You're welcome. We have Healing Journey on Mondays. Some of you need to get healed up in your journey. It's just so much. We love you. And in His Tabernacle, we want you to grow. Turn to someone and say, you gotta grow.
You gotta grow.
Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you so much that, Lord Jesus, you showed us how to do it. We ask in your name that as your body, especially in these last days, when literally everything is shifting around us, everything is changing around us, we literally do not know what the church will be allowed to do or not allowed to do, even by the end of this year. But God, this we do know, the gates of hell shall not prevail against your church. This we do know, that your word is yea and amen. This we do know, that how you created the church in the book of Acts will always bring in a great harvest of souls. So Jesus, today, we dedicate ourselves to that. In your name we pray, amen. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I know this is a very unique type of service, but we want you to become part of the greatest group. That is, those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Listen, you can't go to heaven because you're a nice person. You can't go to heaven because you're sincere. You can't go to heaven because you got baptized as a child. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Today, you need to confess Christ. And if you need Christ Jesus as your Savior, you want to get right with God, I want you to slide your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Is there anyone in the room this morning? I'm not going to wait long. 5, 4, 3, 2, and last call, and 1. Praise the Lord. We are going to just have you stand this morning. We're going to do offering, really just simple. I just want to thank you for being a phenomenally given church. I do want you to know financially that we do have I know I was a little bit boring this morning, but I'll be all right. I want you to know that we're going to do our annual business meeting. We welcome you all to that annual business meeting. Just keep attention out to when we're going to do it. We are also getting a full audit this year. It's costing the church $8,000 to $10,000 for a full audit this year, just so that no accusations can be made like they were in the past, even though they were false. So we're just making sure that we're right where we need to be. So you know that this church is honoring your gift to God. Amen. Remember, you're not giving to a church. You're giving to Jesus. I want to remind you to be a tither. That is the word of the Lord. Tithe, and God promises that I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. Tithe, and you'll always see that God will take care of you financially. That is God's job when you involve him as in the tithe. And then be a sower. I love sowing myself. My wife and I sowed a lot this week at the corporate prayer. I just was excited to do that because I know that I can't outgive my Jesus. Amen. I challenge you to be a giver. If you've never tithed, let 2021 be the year you begin to tithe. Say amen. Father, we just speak blessing over this house, blessing over the giving, blessing over groups, blessing over souls saved. Lord, increase your house. Jesus, bring in the greatest harvest. Pour out with signs and wonders. Let miracles be part of a normal piece of our basis of life. God, we declare you as a good God. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen. Let's make our declaration. I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I said I'm a child of God. Then shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. We love you. Leave socially distanced. We love you. Have a great day. If you're watching online, make sure that you give. You can give all those different ways. Text to give, histabernacle.com. We thank God that you're watching. We thank God that you're receiving. We're going to push you because we love you. Make sure you're growing in Christ.